For the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened, and thus is obstructing our ability to deal effectively with the global political turmoil that this awakening is generating.
So back in October, a group of us shut down and occupied EDF's West Burton gas-fired power station for a week. We saved nearly 20,000 tonnes of carbon.
We need to stop complying and start defying.
This is Dark City Radio.
One of the most concerning things about this is that the police seem to have been talking directly with EDF, actually helping them to sue us.
This is Dark City Radio.
East Sussex County Council then came up with the scheme of a link road.
I am eager to hear what, you know, what you've done, how you've got there, you know, how these backhanded, well, I don't know whether there is a conspiracy or the left hand really doesn't know what the right hand is doing within our council offices, you know.
This is Dark City Radio.
They didn't have the proper licences in place to cut the hedgerows down or to take the stumps of the trees out. Public inquiry was, in my opinion, rigged. There was protesters in the trees.
If you lower yourself to the level of violence, then the strongest person wins.
And this whole state is controlled by a body of words created by the government, statutes and acts. We're policed by consent. And that means statutes and acts require our consent to be given the force of law.
There's so many corrupt angles going on from this, it's unbelievable, it really is. East Sussex County Council are just bullying through.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Resistance News, and I'm commonly called Bob Earthwise. Welcome to your new show, where you can netcast to all about your actions of resistance. And we are here every week on Dark City Radio. DAs, or direct actions, drive progress. And whether it be from Rosa Parks on an Alabama bus to the tank man in Tiananmen Square, these are the people that have affected real societal change.
We don't need someone to come along and tell us how to live in our community. We've got to make a peaceful, honest, honourable stand to the best of our ability to stop this going on.
And now, please welcome the Dark City Radio Resistance News Crew.
Fair cuts and austerity, and the local council, East Sussex County Council, has got to make up the rest of it. If it goes over at all, that's down to the council. So that's it, it's going ahead. We've got a mini convoy down there already of diggers and stuff, and I imagine there's a big one going to turn up Monday and start work proper.
And it might be worth reminding everyone or anyone who's, this is the first time they've heard of the Hastings Link Road, is that the Department of Transport rejected it, didn't they?
Yeah, the Department of Transport did reject it. They rejected it as the most pollutant and worst value for money in 190 new road schemes that they've bought out. Which leads me to another bit, actually, a thing called Operation Disclosure. Now, there was some information that wasn't disclosed. It wasn't released between Department of Transport and East County Council. So what's happened is, a group called Coombe Home Defenders and Hastings Alliance have got together and said to the Department of Transport, if the information isn't released by the 8th, which is Monday, then they will go and retrieve that information peacefully themselves over Monday and Tuesday. This is at this is in London, outside the Department of Transport offices. Also to do with that, the Hastings Alliance this week, they put in a freedom of information request, and the Information Commissioner's Office has come back saying that most of the redacted information was incorrectly withheld by the Department for Transport, as the public interest favoured disclosing the information, and they've ordered the Department for Transport to disclose some, but not all, of the redacted info on the relevant documents within 35 calendar days. The reason we found out, the reason this information has been withheld is to keep it withheld from protesters. That's the word they use for it, and other people that are against the road. So the information was held back because if the public knew this information, they would have all voted against it, rather than keep it quiet.
It's interesting that they're releasing it now the money's turned up as well.
Yes.
So, you know, you still haven't seen it, and they would have started the work in earnest, wouldn't they?
Before anyone sees it. And that's the Department of Transport can also appeal against the decision. So, you know, it could go on for ages and ages and ages. It'd be nice to see what happens on Monday and Tuesday this week. Apparently there's about 80 to 100 people going up, staying overnight. If the Department for Transport won't let them on Monday morning, then they're going to queue up outside and wait until they are allowed in. That's the plan. We'll see what comes of it. If anybody's in the area wants to get down to the Department for Transport in Queens Ferry there, you know, quite welcome.
So when's that again, Boris?
That's 8 o'clock Monday morning and the same Tuesday morning.
Is it on the Coombe Haven website?
Yeah, it's on the Coombe Haven website and Operation Disclosure website as well. That's probably the best one for anyone to look at, the Operation Disclosure website. It's more up to date at the moment. Our local MP is Greg Barker, and it just so happens he's the Minister for Energy and Climate Change. So can I read you a quick quote on what he's had to say this week in our local papers?
Yeah, go for it.
It says, MP Greg Barker was very proud that the government had honoured the election pledge to deliver 21st century transport links, and added the link road will ensure that we can also deliver the new homes and new jobs that are desperately needed, and in a way that is sensitive to the environment. This package spells growth for our local economy. I can't believe myself that that's come from somebody who's a Minister for Climate Change. Unless he's the Minister for causing more climate change, maybe. You know?
Well, if there wasn't... I mean, climate changes anyway. You know, it just does. But, you know, he'd be out of a job if it didn't.
Yeah. It's a pretty safe seat, that one, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's... You know, the people that have these jobs, I mean, all of them, really, they're a waste of money, as far as I can see. You know, because they haven't got a clue. And that seems to be true of all government departments, you know, whether it be local or national.
Well, we've remembered today about the last road that was built in this area. It was built about 15 miles away in Eastbourne. And this road got built and everybody got paid for it, and nobody used it for 15 years because they didn't have permission to finish the other end of it off.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, 15 years this road sat there, Bob. 15 years, out the back of Eastbourne it was. People used it as a drag strip at first, and then the police blocked it off so no one could get onto it. You know, so at the end of the day, the people get their dollar, people get paid for the whole thing of the road, whether it's ever any use or not, you know.
Well, true.
And I think they're all useless myself. Having been out on the ground most days watching the so-called ecologists, the other day they didn't know the difference between a lizard and a great crested newt, believe it or not, in a white bucket.
Oh, they'd actually caught one?
Yes, they'd caught one up near Queensway in Hastings. There's some guys there replacing the lizard fencing. They've got lizard and newt fencing to stop the migrations and to force migrations into other directions. And they tell me people keep going down and ripping it up, and the wind keeps getting it and ripping it up, and these guys have to keep going down there and replacing it. And every time they do, they have to have a Jacobs ecologist with them, and he couldn't tell the difference between a newt and a lizard.
Well, that's encouraging.
It is, isn't it, eh? It's really encouraging. I mean, if you remember going back to last month, they forgot to get the licences to remove the hedgerows. They forgot to get the licences to pull the stumps out. It's only this week that people whose houses actually, the gardens and houses back onto the route, they've had letters saying, please can the council come around and survey their houses. I suppose so. That's if there's any damage caused, that's covering their backside in case when the during works any damage is caused to houses, people put claims in.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. You know, I mean, if there's cracks in any of the buildings, that'll all be logged, won't it? So that they won't end up being blamed for it.
Yeah. It seems a bit.
And
like...
I guess with the amount of works that are going on, you know, damage must be a possibility.
It's inevitable. We've already had a landslide. So part of where this road's being built is an old railway line. And in some parts, it's lower than the ground, so it's up on embankments. And in other parts, some parts it's up on bridges, some parts it was down. And where it's down, obviously, you've got big embankments, and houses have been built on the top of these. And where they've been in a started work already, they've started undermining the houses where they've had a big landslide and took, like, maybe 3 or 4 foot of the ground from below the house.
Is that just from pulling the trees out?
They hadn't even pulled the trees out then. That was literally from cutting the trees down and moving the big plant machinery up there. No vehicles had gone up there in 40 years at all. So, and obviously, because of the nature of the site, with it being old railway, it's all sort of shingly shale stuff with where the trees and the nature's taken over. So where they've moved one bit, they've literally had like an avalanche.
Wow.
It's took them 4 weeks of bringing in hardcore and banging it down and bringing hardcore in and banging it down to get that one house secure. So I imagine they're going to have a few more problems like that. That's just the first one, and that's before any piling's been done. You know, like I say, there hasn't been really big machinery in. The biggest machinery has been the chippers and maybe the tractor trailers. Everything else is sort of normal JCB size. But that'll obviously all change in the next couple of weeks when they bring the big earth movers and all that in.
Huge grey shovel cranes.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy, you know. It's not going to be quiet for the next couple of years around here anyway. I'm not sure what people are if anybody's planning any demonstrations or protests or actions at all. I imagine they are. I hope they are. I know I am. One of the things that we're doing active is we had one report. I mean, one report from an old boy walking through a field is hearsay, you know. But when you're down there 2 or 3 days later and totally separate people come talking to you, telling you the same thing, you get a bit, you know, a bit more worried about it, innit? And what they were telling us was that they spotted people down there at night taking badgers away. Well, I've been probably going in badger baiting. That where they closed some of the sets up, there's a lot of badgers running about. I mean, in the last week, there's been 4 dead badgers on the same road in Sidley itself. I suppose they're looking for their set or something.
Probably trying to find new food pathways and...
Well, you know, the thing is, obviously, I think they're being scared out of the countryside by all the work that's been going on. So they're coming more into the village and the town looking for food, like you say, because, you know, they hear all the noise in the daytime when they're under... The mums are under the ground still, see, pregnant at the moment. They should be coming up in the next few days, in the next few weeks with their cubs and stuff. But at one set, you've had JCBs and tractors and stuff moving 1 metre from their holes, and the other side of the set has been about 3 metres away from their holes. So, you know, in my head, them badgers under the ground there are pretty scared and coming out whenever they can and grabbing what food they can and getting back underground again. In July, see, they're going to move all these badgers because the sets need digging up. The main sets need to be dug up and gone. They're building new sets to put them in. The new sets, though, need to be dehumanised, and it's like bird boxes. There's a lot of bird boxes, bat boxes gone up, but anyway, just quickly back to dehumanising. If you put a bird box up, you should really look at putting it up before the winter and maybe not getting anything in it the first year, you know, because it needs to get weathered, needs to get wind and rain on it and that to get the smell of humans that have built it off it. And I imagine that's going to be the same with this.
Aren't they just concrete bunkers?
What's that? Well, sorry?
When they build badger sets...
No, well, the badger sets that they've built, what they've done is cut a bit of hedgerow away in a bank. I've only managed to find one so far, but they cut a bit of hedgerow away in a bank, and then they've got these plastic pipes. You know, the ridged plastic pipes you see on work sites, on building sites? They've got them, and they're... there's about five or six of them pointed into the ground. I don't know what's under there. I don't know whether it's plastic or, like you say, concrete or even earth under there. I haven't seen anything go in it yet. Come out.
Shouldn't they have built these? Doesn't sound very inviting at all, does it?
No, they don't look inviting. There's a remote camera on it. I imagine that's a wildlife people watching it. But going back to staying with the badgers and what I was saying about these old boys telling us about badgers in the fields. We found a badger the other day. We did put a photo on Facebook, and to us it looked like it had been ripped apart by a pack of dogs and then run over by a heavy 4x4 vehicle. This is the kind of thing we're trying to catch happening at night. Whether it's connected to the road or not connected to the road, we don't know. It hasn't happened for years. It hasn't happened for 20 years. We haven't had any problem with badger baiting or anything down here. We imagine it's... with the road building going on, it's fair game for anybody to come down and have a go, sort of thing, you know, in that if you're that way inclined.
Is there a big crew there already?
Of workmen?
Yeah.
There is and there isn't. When work's going on, there's big crews. Yesterday, I saw two people on the whole site. There's big crews of security hanging about everywhere. The bailiffs and that can't be far away, because every time you get near site and cause a little bit of disturbance, they're there within 20 minutes, half an hour. But that's only if you're on council-owned property, part of the compulsory purchase property. What we're asking people to do mainly at the moment is to walk down the footpaths with their cameras, see what they can see happening, get photos, put them up on Facebook or Twitter or any other social media site, and spread the message as much as we can about what's going on here. Because it is going to come, it's going to happen everywhere, you know. 750 miles of tarmac, Bob, they've got laid down in this plan. 190 road schemes, mate, you know.
Huge amount, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It's nearly always in pristine countryside as well.
Well, it seems to me, most of them I've had a look at are the same as this one. It's not linking towns together, it's opening up, you know. A lot of people want the road, now they're realising there's going to be infill, they're not too happy about it, you know. We've just had the notices starting today going through people's doors about a meeting next week we can all go to talk about the new developments on the back of Sidley. So I'll be reporting from them for you. They should be interesting meetings to be at.
Yeah, definitely. Being as they seem to keep that really quiet.
Well, it's a company called C-Space. I don't know if that's C-Space Sussex or whatever. It's called C-Space. They built some units in Hastings about 5 years ago. I had the misfortune of having to work in these units for a while, sent there on job seeker's allowance a couple of years ago, and most of them are empty. The other day, the guy who runs C-Space, John Shaw, said the reason they're empty is they built them at the wrong time and they built the wrong size. Well, I can't wait to see this geezer at the meeting next week and ask him if these are going to be built at the right time and the right size. You know, and seeing as these other ones are sort of near the other end of the road route in Hastings, why can't they knock them ones down on the brownfield and build the right size units there, maybe? You know?
You would think, wouldn't you? I mean, why are they too big or too small?
Some are too big, some are too small.
So actually what it is no one wants to set up business or they're too expensive.
Yeah, or they can't get the government subsidies for those ones to help people move into them, maybe.
I didn't know that there was.
Oh, yes, there is, Bob. Yeah, that all goes on with all this. When they build the new estate, there'll be subsidised rents for businesses for a while to encourage them into the area. And that's obviously subsidised by local government, I would imagine. Could be main government, I don't know about that. But yeah, there's subsidies everywhere, absolutely everywhere. There'll be so many people filling their pockets on this. It'll be unbelievable. And as I say, if the same happens in Eastbourne, where you end up with about 3 miles of road that goes absolutely nowhere because it's a dead end and it's brand new, then it's going to be crazy, isn't it, really? You know, what I need to explain, having said that, is the other end of the road from Sidley, where it joins in Hastings, all depends now. I mean, they could build that to there. That'll create a big traffic problem there. So now they've got to get a plan in there called the Bald Low Link to get that road onto the next road, like, you know.
So is it the same story again, that they're going to build this road and no one will use it because they can't get off the other end of it?
Oh, totally, totally. If you're going from Bexhill to Hastings, don't bother. Well, it takes you away from both towns and takes you to a map. At the moment, you can sit on the junction for 20 minutes at the top of Queensway. If they take all the traffic off this road like they want to and put it onto Queensway, that 20 minutes is going to turn into an hour, you know, at least, sitting at the junction waiting. So the whole...
Put lights in.
Well, no, what they've got to do, there's a little roundabout thingy there, a mini roundabout turnout. But what they intend to do is to put this new link in, sort of over, through a bit of countryside, over a bit, and down to link up to the A21. Absolutely mental. We've also noticed that the councillor who's been behind this, old Pinocchio Jones, is not standing for election. This is a surprising story. You'll like this one. He's not re-standing for election in May. He's fought this for 25 years. He's fought this. It's his little baby, this road. So there he is. He's got it through. Guess where his house is? Just have a quick guess, mate.
On the road.
No, on the road that all the cars are going to be sent to once this one's built. So it's up for sale, isn't it? It's up for sale. And he's gone and bought himself a new house for £600,000 in Fairlight. Fairlight's a beauty spot that will never get built on it. We'll never get more traffic through it and roads built there. Hey, how about that?
How much is the house he's selling worth, then?
I don't think it'll be worth much once people have finished. I know there's a couple of signs gone up outside already about the pollution that's due in this area and things like that.
Oh, people are putting their own signage on his house?
Yeah, as far as I know, they have been, yeah. Yeah, I know two have been taken down already.
Is he still living in it, then?
I don't think he's living in it, no, but he's still trying to sell it.
So he must have another house somewhere else as well, then?
Yeah, the one I just said, mate, the £600,000 one at Fairlight.
Oh, he's bought that already?
He's in that already, yeah. So there he is, 25 years fighting for a road. As soon as it comes in, he resigns his seat and moves into a £600,000 house in the middle of nowhere.
Well, they say there's no such thing as coincidence.
Yeah, Alex, definitely not. Definitely not. I don't think I've got too much more to say on this, really, apart from, I don't know if anyone can help me with this. The road, they've chopped the hedgerows down. They've cut the trees down, most of the trees in the route down. It's gone, nesting season started, and all of a sudden, there's bird boxes and bat boxes have started appearing on the trees that will be coming down later on in the year. I don't know if anybody can help me with that at all. Tell me whether that's whether it's a survey. It looks like it's a survey going on, but I would imagine they should have surveyed last year, or I don't know. Are they just ticking boxes? I really don't know. I can't work it out why they've done it.
So let's get this straight. They're putting up nesting boxes for bats and birds, and they're putting them on trees that they're going to chop down.
Yeah, exactly, Bob. Exactly right.
Bats are protected, and a lot of birds are, particularly ones that would use a nesting box. So if they're in it, they can't chop the tree down, can they?
No, I don't know what it's about. I imagine they've put them up because they haven't been taken down. I can't see it being an activist has put them up, because they've been up for about 2 weeks now. And they're in, you know, they're in view, totally in view. And there are certain trees. The trees have got a piece of yellow tape around them with a silver disc hidden underneath the tape. I've never seen that before. They're not the surveying discs. They're numbered discs. Could they have some kind of satellite device in them or something? I mean, you know, what could it all be? I can't find anything on the internet about all this, see?
Well, I doubt that they're, you know, got internet capability in a box, but I would imagine that somebody must be keeping an eye on them.
Yeah, hopefully with the weather getting warmer, we'll get a few more people in the area that can help us observe the road, you know, help us observe the build, so we can see what's going on. I try to do about 3 or 4 hours a day every day, but, you know, it'd be nice to have 24-hour surveillance on the marshes, really.
I think you really need to survey those bird boxes and keep an eye on them. Either way, I mean, if they are, if there's some kind of device in there, it needs to be looked at, found out what it is, and if there's birds and bats in there, even better, get that recorded.
Yeah, that's it.
Would it though? Very important.
Yeah, we're going to keep going on and on and on, you know, and doing what we can do. I don't want to get arrested. I'm not getting arrested if I can help it. You know, I don't know if that sounds like a scaredy cat or what. I've done enough time in prison cells. I'm not doing any more. So all I can do now is observe and pass out information, I suppose.
Well, it's all part of the process anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been told that if I take photos, if I'm taking photos of council property, the security have been told to inform the police. So,
really?
Yeah, that's what they told me the other day. I don't know if they were trying to scare me. I told them that if they called the police, can they get them to give me a bell first or put a kettle on?
Ah, well done.
I said make sure it's Danny because I don't speak to any of the others because, you know, we live here. It's a little village, Bob. You've been here, you know. It's a little village, isn't it? We all know each other.
Right? Oh, true, yeah.
So, people trying to scare us that are not from around here is quite amusing, really. We know who to be scared of and who not to, do you know what I mean?
I think they set out to be intimidating once they realised that, you know, people have got a contrary idea to the road.
Yeah. Intimidating,
I mean, all the stories you told about them, you know, they've been out of order the whole time, haven't they?
Yeah, both sets. The Surf Coast Security and the Sher Group enforcement officers. Yeah, they're terrible. I noticed the other day, I was doing a little bit of research on Sher Group because I've got this case against them, that they were part of the Occupy London evictions in the Bank of Ideas and Trafalgar Square, I think.
Yeah, when I had a look at their website after you mentioned it a few weeks ago, you could see, you know, it was obvious that that's what it was. So they're definitely Occupy destroyers.
Yeah, I've seen their faces. There's definitely two faces on all the videos that are the same. Just so happens one of them I've got the case against.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Or you'll get a lot of support for that.
Yeah, I haven't got his name yet, but, you know, because they're not, I'm doing it personally kind of thing, and they're coming back as a company, do you know what I mean?
So Den in the chat room, or is it Den? Yeah, Den in the chat room, he says, Boris, you can't fight if you're in prison.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I've been thinking about it. Yeah, thanks, Dan. That's exactly the point, isn't it? You know, a lot of people went out on the first few days, got arrested, and they haven't been. They're not allowed down in the area till, well, the next court case is August the 28th, so or so around then. So, you know, that buggered them up a bit, really. And I love the area too much. I walk my dogs down there. I don't want to get arrested for walking down there, you know. So, I want to keep coming on the radio and letting you know what's going on. Spread the word.
Well, yeah. It's important, isn't it? Because it often this sort of information never gets any further than a handful of people, really.
Well, I can remember on campaigns before internet and stuff, when it was little scraps of paper that photocopied, and you were lucky if you got the information at all, you know.
Yeah, let's also spare a thought for the people who are willing to get arrested who don't want to come on the radio as well. They're brave boys as well.
Totally, I've met a lot of those people. A lot of them came over, and 100% to them all. Yeah, we give them as much support as we can. There's always somebody there to meet them at the cells afterwards, you know, offer a beer, etc. Make sure they've got a bed, because what they're doing is, if they lived away, they were letting them out at 2 o'clock in the morning and things like that. But yeah, no, everybody's been looked after. There's a good firm of solicitors from Brighton on the case. And good luck on them as well, you know, good to them, like you say, definitely good to them. Especially the 60-year-old ladies and the 72-year-old ladies that have been arrested in this, you know. In the next week we'll be uploading a sort of a photo dossier of what's happened up until now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to try and get them all together, a couple of hundred photos, don't know if we're going to do it, and then upload them onto our Facebook page on the Second Battle of Hastings, so people can have a sort of a little timeline of what's gone on, you know.
Right. Cool, yeah, well, you know, come on and tell us about it so that we can get the site out there and what have you, so that people can go and have a good look at it.
Yeah. It's there's information going up every day at the moment, I think. On Facebook, it's Second Battle of Hastings. Other sites, if anybody hasn't looked through them before to look at in this, would be the Hastings Alliance and the Coombe Haven Defenders and the Friends of Breed Valley. They were worth Googling and checking their websites out. I wish I could say that the Sussex Wildlife Trust and people like that were as well, but I'm afraid they're not. They took their carrots in this, and they're not against it at all anymore. The RSPB aren't against it, but did send somebody down to wave a banner one day, so that was a result. One day we had Greenpeace, Friends of the Earth. God, there was lots of them turned up on a Sunday when nothing was happening, waved their banners and went home again. That was a funny day.
Well, that's NGOs for you, isn't it, really?
Yeah, wasn't it, just? That's the day the Guardian, the Independent, Reuters, everybody turned up, you know. It was like a media circus up there. I came home, I did. I couldn't stand it.
But, Boris, we're going to go to a little music break now. We're going to be chatting about fracking when we come back afterwards. Do you want to join us for that as well?
I'd like to listen in on it, Bob, if that's all right, because I don't know much about fracking, and I know it's going to start sort of happening in everyone's backyard soon.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to join in, because, you know, it's going to be happening in your neck of the woods, probably. I mean, I don't know whether they've issued licences around you, but...
Yeah, they have issued licences, and they actually set up a fracker, would it be called? A fracking fracker, up behind Brighton in a place called Balcombe. Not quite sure what happened. I think they set it up and then the ban came in. But so that's still sitting there in the field, like, not used at the moment.
All right, well, join us after the music, Boris.
Yeah, okay.
We'll chat about all of this. It's a piece of music that actually made me smile. It was doing its round on Facebook, so... It's called Bugger the Bankers by the Austerity All-Stars, and you can go and download it from http://theausterityallstars.bandcamp.com. So if you like it, they're letting you download it for just £1, but yeah, I hope you enjoy it, and we'll chat again as soon as we come back after the music break.
Okay, Bob, thanks a lot for letting us on again. Thanks a lot, Dark City. See you all later.
Thanks, Boris.
Civil rights,
but it's always the
system is bent and the money's all spent.
We're murdered from every direction.
The workers get taxed while the wealthy relax.
Struggle for justice, but I've done my time on the protesters' line, and these days I show my dissent.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the Bugger the Bankers music. Do check them out. They're on YouTube as well. It's the Austerity All-Stars, and it's Bugger the Bankers. Anyway, I was reading an article earlier on today, and it was a class of kids in Ireland, and they picked fracking as their school project, and were entered in the Young Scientist Science Fair in Dublin as a consequence of the work they did. It just struck me that actually not a lot of people know exactly what fracking is, and they've issued quite a number of licenses throughout the country now.
Sounds like we've lost Bob.
Yes, we've lost Bob.
Oh, poor Bob. Come back, Bob.
He'll be back soon. He won't be long.
While he's away, I'll bring everyone's attention, if they haven't already seen it. International Consortium of Investigative Journalists have received a cachet of 2.5 million secret records, more than WikiLeaks ever got. This has got global ramifications for politicians, journalists, and big businessmen who have been trying to avoid tax by keeping their money in offshore accounts. This is going to blow the lid on all these corrupt fuckers. And as long as our courts of justice take this seriously, this could push things forward a big amount. So fingers crossed it's not a false flag situation, and that the courts do take it seriously, and maybe we can get some of these corrupt buggers brought to justice. So have we got Bob back yet, Paul?
No, Chris, unfortunately. Bob's internet's not been too clever this last day or so, and he's dropped, so we're still waiting for him to reconnect.
What's your opinion on offshore accounts then, Bob?
Well, I can't say a lot. I've been three, Chris, so... I can't really speak on... No, I'm only joking, of course. off your account. I remember a while ago, and I don't know if it's connected, Boots, the chemist, was it? Orange, Vodafone. And they're actually companies that are owned foreign, you know, the foreignly owned companies. They're not English companies, and they don't have to pay the tax because they're registered in other countries. It's hundreds, millions, or billions of pounds they get away with.
Yeah,
and I mean, if you tried it, Chris, or I tried that, we'd end up in, we'd end up doing time, you know.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, I mean, the way these companies work, they give you they sell the directorship to just some anonymous bod who wants to make a little bit of money out of helping people hide their money. So you've got an anonymous director that can never have any ramifications of crime or anything led back to him with a paper trail. It's absolutely disgusting the way they've behaved, and this is blowing the lid on the whole lot. Got the article in front of me here. Yeah, Cyprus had something to do with offshore accounts. A lot of Russians putting their money in there. So I think that's what maybe that's either kicked the ball off, or it's been the start of the investigations into these leaks. And yeah, serious ramifications this is going to be. So this is going to be something I'm going to be keeping an eye on the next couple of weeks and bringing some updates on, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be good, Chris. Would I be right in that this has been brought to us by some 17-year-old hackers again?
It doesn't look like it, but who knows? I mean, the internet is a minefield. It really is.
Anyway, I do believe Bob has returned. Have you returned, Bob?
I have.
So you got to saying about the areas that were getting the licences, Bob, and then you cut out.
Oh, right, okay. A number of licences have been issued throughout the country by the government, but obviously the companies that will be drilling and fracking need to get planning permission, though they will be fast-tracked through, and there's very little that people can do to object, but the fracking companies themselves are kind of putting a lot of spin on what they're doing, and it's quite frightening, the consequences from this type of, well, exotic extraction, for want of a better way of putting it. But going back to this school, each of the schools in this science project had to ask a question, and the question from this school was, will fracking damage our environment? And the conclusion they came to through all their research and local information, because they are fracking in Ireland already, plus what they found out in places like Australia and the US, where they've been heavily fracking for a number of years, led this class to the conclusion, to the question, will fracking damage our environment? And the answer, their conclusion was, yes, it will. And the other thing they were concerned about was how little information people in Ireland had about fracking. So I figured, yeah, if we could have a little bit of a chat about it tonight. If anyone's listening that has any first-hand knowledge, information or experience, do call in. You know, it's Skype, it's Bob's Backyard, or if you're in the UK, 0612980298, or if you're outside, 0044612980298. But yeah, please, you're welcome to join us on this one. Do you, either Chris or Boris, I mean, do you have any knowledge on fracking?
No, I don't have any knowledge whatsoever. I've not seen anything in the press really about it, only in the alternative press. It'd be interesting to find out where the kids got the information to do their school projects from, and maybe they can help us get some information on it.
Well, there's a number of sites. I mean, there's on Facebook, I mean, I started a group called Frack Free Dorset. There's a Frack Free Devon. There's a Frack Free Somerset, I think. There's another one for Wiltshire. I mean, all over each of the places that have the right geology for this to happen, each county has sprung up with their frack free group or like page. Plus there's BIF, which is Britain and Ireland Frack Free, which is kind of like an umbrella that feeds out information. All of those are really easily accessible, and obviously we'll put links under the podcast so that people can find these things.
I think it's a good idea if we all keep an eye on fracking in our local area. You know, just keep googling your local area and seeing if any searches come up about fracking in the area. I'll be onto it straight away. Well, this is very serious.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is information on the internet. I mean, on the Frack Free Dorset page, I did put a map where all the licences that have been issued so far were. And in fact, in Dorset, there's three. Right. So,
Can I just mention Gasland, Bob?
Sorry?
If people don't know about fracking, the only thing I know about it is I watched a movie called Gasland. That's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, it's worth watching for sure. It's got a lot of information, and I'll try and find a link to it and put that under the podcast as well.
I know it's available in pieces on YouTube. I don't know if the whole thing's available, but it's available in about 9 or 10 pieces on YouTube.
Right, well, maybe I've got to Vimeo or something like that by now, but yeah, no, it's definitely worth people watching that. Anyway, the actual operation of fracking itself, I mean, the gas is in shale rock structure, which often is 1,000 feet down, and it is a thin horizontal layer. And shale rock is already fractured in its nature. And over millions of years, the gas has seeped out of the rocks into the fissures. Okay, so that's the methane gas that they want to extract. And what they do now, they drill down to this layer, obviously vertically, and then they can turn the drill head to whatever direction they want. So they then go horizontally and follow this shale layer, whether it dips or rises or whatever way it goes. And they do that for maybe 2,000 feet or more. And they go in both directions, and in that shale layer, there may be six wells drilled within a few meters of each other. So three going in one direction and three going in the other direction. Once they've drilled it, they then put water and fracking chemicals, which makes the water slippery, more slippery than regular water. And they pump that, fill the whole well up, and then pressurise it so that it goes into the fractures that's in the shale structure already and makes them wider. Obviously, they then take a good chunk of the water away again, by which time it's contaminated with natural radiation, which is in the ground, in the shale layer. So it's now, you know, radioactive water with a myriad of chemicals, many of which the fracking companies don't disclose. So there's no way of knowing fully what the cocktail mixes, and it is millions of gallons of water they use, millions, to frack these things out. And obviously, when they're drilling, they put a sleeve down and a concrete jacket around it to try and protect groundwater, but they've absolutely no way of knowing whether the concrete jacket is good and whether it's viable through the whole length of what they've drilled, and often it isn't. And through that is where you get the leakages often into the groundwater, unless of course the shale layers go really close to the groundwater and all the fracking chemicals come out through the fissures into water above. So disposing of all this water is another nightmare. I mean, the traffic that one well pad encourages is phenomenal. You know, all the fluids, all the drilling, and all the disposal, everything's got to go away again, and they're left with then this well, which can backwash this terrible liquid out at any time after the fracking people have left. And of course, you know, they're then collecting the methane from in the rocks, which initially is a viable thing to do, but because it takes years and years and years for the methane to seep into the fissures, the production does a steep nosedive. So after the first year or two, they're only going to produce a fraction of what they say that well's viable for, and they will then have to refrack again. And after 10 years, they reckon there's, you know, none of the wells would be viable. So there you go, that's a bit of an outline on fracking. I mean, is that sort of, do you guys know a bit more about how and why and what it is?
Yeah, Boris, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, thanks, same as you, Chris. I think that it's as informative. The three of us sitting here didn't know much about it, only what a movie we've seen, and having it explained by Bob's made a lot more sense, or nonsense, out of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how what's the risk of all these chemicals getting into our water source, Bob? Into the water course?
I don't know whether they're... I mean, there are hundreds of wells in the US, and... you know, maybe three or four have seriously failed. I mean, that's just the chemicals getting into the water course. I mean, the other, you know, thing that is often publicised is the methane, which can get into the water, and this is where you see people setting fire to the
flammable water
out of the taps.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that can happen naturally, but it's pretty rare.
So what are the other ways of these frackings failing?
Of it failing?
Yeah, you said there's numerous ways of them failing.
Oh, the concrete jackets and the sleeves that they put in. Yeah, well, you know, if you're going down 1,000 feet, how are you going to know for the whole of that 1,000 feet you've put a 2-inch thick concrete jacket round a pipe?
I think that's time, Bob. We're coming up to the end of the programme.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to have to say goodbye, everybody. We're coming up to the end of the programme, Bob.
Okay, well, it's been fun. I mean, we haven't got far with the fracking, and I'm sure that, you know, we'll deal with it over the next few weeks and more, because, you know, people do need to know as much as they can about it. So I hope everyone's enjoyed the show. Thank you, guys. Chris, Boris.
No problem. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
And we'll see you next week. Have a fun week.
You're listening to Dark City Radio Live. Tune in at www.darkcityradio.com. You can find us by searching Dark City Radio on Facebook or Twitter.